with the Lord, and then we will know that He rules and reigns. And thank God for the knowledge that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He lives. A great song that we have that we can sing and rejoice in, knowing the blessings that our God is alive. He's well. He's doing well. He's not sick, and He's not been forgotten. So we thank the Lord He lives. Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 4. The Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 4. We'll read a couple of verses, and then we'll turn over to chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. I've used these verses before together, and but a little differently. And we'll look at them again tonight. And thank the Lord that we have a God that delivers, a God that gives hope and peace, security to us as His children. In Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse number 7, it says, "For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great, that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I have set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and give thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart in all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons, and to thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, and they shall learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And you came near and stood under the mountain. And the mountain burned with fire upon the midst of heaven, and with darkness and clouds and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but ye saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And He declared unto you His covenant, which He had commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and He wrote them upon 2 tables of stones. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye shall no manner of similitude in this day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire." Now turn over to chapter number 6, and we'll read beginning in verse number 6. "And these words which I commanded you this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou raisest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write upon them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, and which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou hast even eaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Here in these two passages of Scripture, we find that Moses is dealing with the subject of not forgetting. He reveals to them in these verses that we've read how that God has given them commandments and covenant, and how they are to teach them to their children and to their children's children, how that they are to have them as they lay down at night, as they rise up in the morning, how that they are to have them diligently given to their children, when they walk and when they do the things during the day, they are to be revealing the Word of the Lord to their children, so that the process of understanding and growing in the things of God might continue in the house of the people of Israel. And so he says he gives them a warning here in these two verses. He tells us in chapter 4, where we read, and this verse says only, verse 9 says, only take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligent, lest thou forget the things which thou has seen and the things you've had happen to you. You see, if we do not continually talk about the things of the Lord, the next generation do not know and will not ever understand the days gone by and the blessings that God has given to us. We hear today that there's not a whole lot of use of having history. There's a lot of schools that do not teach history. They do not teach geography. They don't teach anything according to our past because they feel as though that it's not important. Well, the Lord tells us important to remember. The Lord tells us it's important to have these things on our hearts and our minds that we might teach our children. And so what He is telling these people of Israel to do is really to teach the history of days gone by to the generation that is to come. I'm afraid tonight that we are losing a generation that has no idea of what's going on in our country and why we have the certain things that we have. And it's amazing people that students that do not know certain things about the history of our country, how many do not even know the first president, and just amazing of the questions that some have been asked, and yet they do not know. And those are things that we learned as a young child, and even before we went to school, some things that we had knowledge of. And the Lord tells them it's a dangerous thing to forget. It's a dangerous thing to not reveal it to the generation that is to come. There's a lot of things that we can learn from the past. There's a lot of things that we can learn, a lot of mistakes that took place early that if we know it, then we do not go that way again and we do not make the same mistakes over and over. So tonight I want us to just think about this remembering what the Lord has done for us and what God has blessed us. We see it seems as though about every generation of our country there has been motto or slogans that we are to remember. I remember when I first went to school, one of the first things that I remember was being taught was the battle there in Texas of the Alamo. And the generation that followed that slogan was, remember the Alamo. What took place and the battle and how it went forth. And so that was a motto of that generation. World War II, the bombing of Pearl Harbor. The motto of that day and that generation that was to follow was, remember Pearl Harbor. Just to call into remembrance what has taken place. And then now with 9/11, we have the slogan, we'll never forget. And so we find that every generation of the country's history there have been things that we have tried to maintain and tried to remember in order for the generation that is to come up might understand the freedoms that we have and the things that have been given to us have come at a high price. It's come at the price of many loss of life and many young men and women dying for their country. And so we are to remember that, and it helps us to understand and helps us to appreciate what we've had here. Just this weekend we had here in our own town that replica of the Vietnam Memorial, the wall, and we went out and looked at that. It's a very moving thing, and if you've ever been to D.C. and saw the real thing and was connected with that at all, it's a very powerful remembrance of that era of time and that time at which our country was going through much upheaval and many, many struggles. And so we have things that are given to us to remember. The monuments in our country and the memorials in our country are given for us to remember. When the people of Israel came across the river and crossed into to the promised land, when they come across, they set up a monument or set up a memorial that they would tell their children and their children's children how God had delivered them. And even in our passage there tonight in chapter 6, it deals with that particular subject, how that they beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Don't forget what God has done. And I believe tonight that would be a good thing for us, not to forget what the Lord has done for us. Not to put them on the backside and never think about it, but to remember what the Lord has given to us. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, God says, don't forget the law of God. In chapter 6, He says, just don't forget the Lord. Because if we don't forget the Lord, we will remember His law, and we'll remember the things that He has given to us. So I want us to think tonight just a few things that is good for us as believers that we not to forget about, that we don't let them go out of our thoughts, and that we should always talk about and tell them. And I believe we should have them before our children and tell them the blessings that God has given and how that the Lord has dealt with us. And He has set His love upon us because He loved us and has given Himself for us. There are many things that we need to not forget. Never forget. Never let them go into our forgetfulness. Number one is how that we were a sinner saved by grace. What a wonderful thought it is to know that we've been born again. What a wonderful thing it is to know that our past records, no matter how bad they are, no matter how wicked we were, thank God they're under the blood and we've been saved. Born again by the Spirit of the Lord and have new life and have liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember just how lost we were as a sinner and how ungodly we were in our thoughts and our attitudes and our ways. Oh, we may have hidden it pretty well from people, but underneath the facade of what we have and underneath the false face and the pretense, we knew our wicked heart, and the thing is that God knew our wicked heart, and we do not need to forget our past records, ever how bad they are. We need to remember they have been placed under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that we rejected the Word of God, how we rejected the things of the Lord, how ridiculous we thought things of God were and the spiritual things. So many times I see folks, young and old alike, almost in their way of life, they tell you by their actions how ridiculous they think religion is and how off-key it is and how it's just not keeping up with the step of time. And tonight we need to understand and we need to remember what the Lord has done for us. And the best thing that we can do for anyone is to tell them what God has done for us. The best thing, the best testimony that we have is our testimony. Now, I can talk about somebody else's testimony, and I can talk about how God saved so-and-so, and I can talk about how the Lord dealt with their heart, but it's a great thing when I can tell how God dealt with my heart and what the Lord has done for me personally and how He has blessed me and how He has saved my soul. And so we need never forget, we better never forget how lost we were and how ungodly we were in our thoughts and our attitude and even our actions. And according to the Scripture, there's none righteous, no, not one. And so therefore, we need to understand that we're not this good little fellow that the Lord looked down and saw something pretty good in him and decided He'd save him. No. We were sinners in the sight of God. Nothing that would attract the Lord to us, nothing good within us do we have that we could bring, and there's no goodness within our life, there's no spark of divinity, there's no light of hope, there's no ray of hope in the things of God, because we're lost sinners without God. And we need to remember that, and we need to tell our children, and we need to reveal to children and grandchildren that they're lost without God and they need Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't believe we can teach or train our children, and I don't believe we can make them have an understanding of righteousness, and then all of a sudden they just say, well, I guess I'm okay. No, we need to tell them they're sinners, they need the Lord, and need to keep them under the preaching of the Word of God and in the house of the Lord so that they might understand and might have knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. We need to understand that we were lost, and there was no hope outside of the grace of the Lord. Look over in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 19. Romans chapter 3 verse 19. The Scripture says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Here we find a very powerful statement that everything proves to us that the entire world is guilty. If you look in Romans chapter 3, you'll find that the verdict against the world is they're guilty. You'll find that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you'll find that destruction, misery are in the way of the world. And all these things that are listed there in verse number 13 on down just declares to us that People had no fear of God. They had no fear of the things of the Lord. And Paul says, now we know that these things saith to those that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. There's no place for someone to say, well, I was a pretty good person. There's no place for us to be able to see any hope of escape other than through Jesus Christ. And the Lord has put us to that point that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. The Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law was given, those commandments, and the message that God gave to the Jew was not to show them that they could work their way to heaven, but it's to show them they could not make it by themselves. The law was a schoolmaster, Paul tells us, and it was a teacher, it was a guide to show us that we were guilty before God, and we're not justified by the works of the law. We're not justified by the works of the flesh. We're justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so that tells us how lost we were. Nothing good, no hope, and no way of escape. And thank the Lord tonight we know that it is Jesus Christ that has saved us. It is He that has bought us and given us a new home and a new hope. Back in Acts chapter number 4, verse number 12, the Scripture gives us this verse, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And of course, that name is Jesus Christ. He created us. God created mankind for His glory. We've been studying in our Sunday school how that glory was marred and the message of God was destroyed in the fall, and man was taken and pushed out of the garden. And the results of it is, as we read this morning, that every person that has lived has died as a result of the fall of man. And so God made us for His glory, but the glory has been marred, and the glory has been certainly has been taken and changed. But thank God He has called us by His gospel, by His word, and by the message of salvation. He has cleansed us by His grace, and He has helped us to do what we could never do in ourselves. He has made us a new creature in Christ, and we are a believer. Psalm number 100 and verse 2 said, "Is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." And so we find we have nothing to do with our beginning. We have nothing to do with our existence. But we certainly can receive what Christ has done for us, have an existence that's far better and far greater than what has been. We are not a result of our own thoughts. We are not saved simply because God loved us. We are saved because we believe and we trust Him and we have faith in His Jesus Christ. Everybody seems to be trying to find some other way to heaven. Our generation, our society is trying to find every other way except how to have righteousness other than through Jesus Christ. But as we read here tonight, there's no other name. There's no other way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Me." So we find Jesus is He that has saved us. And God has revealed that we're a sinner. Now Jesus comes and offers Himself to us that we might have life eternal. We need not ever forget that. We need to tell that to our children, our children's children. I think it's our responsibility to witness to our family. It's our responsibility to witness to our children and to our grandchildren, those that we're to follow after. We're to tell them what God has done for us. The problem is, so many times we don't have much to talk about because God hasn't done much for us. And the reason He hasn't done much for us is because we haven't really depended upon Him. And so He tells the people of Israel, don't forget. He tells the Jew, lest thou forget. Beware. Take thought. Have an understanding. Not to forget what God did for you on the other side of the river, and how that God put you across the Red Sea and took you out of the house of bondage. And so many times in the Bible, that is one of the focal points of the Old Testament. That's one of the main things of the history of the Jew, is how God delivered them from bondage. And I'll tell you what, bringing it over to the New Testament in spiritual terms, that's the great thing that happens to us, how God has brought us out of bondage. How the Lord has given us liberty, given us freedom, and we're free indeed because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to remember how we were a sinner. We need to remember what Jesus did for us and how that He loved us and sought us and bought us with a price. The love of Christ constrains us and tells us that we are to be believers of the Lord. The book of Ephesians, one of the great books of the New Testament, Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." We are here tonight simply because He loved us. We are where we are tonight because of the love of Christ. First of all, the love of God, but it was manifested in His Son, Jesus Christ. The love of the Son of God, Jesus, toward us. The love of the Christians, the love of the church. I'm glad there are Christians that will love us. I'm glad there are churches that will help us. I'm glad there are places of worship that we can go to and rejoice and know that He is the one that has given life and we can rejoice in Him. We need not forget that. We need not forget Christian brothers and sisters. We need not forget good churches. We need to pray for churches that we do not even know that are standing for truth, that God might undergird and help them as He will help us. Nobody's ever been saved because of their intelligence. If that be the case, I'd be in trouble. We're not saved because we're intelligent. We're saved because we have faith. No one's ever been saved because of how much they have accomplished. If that be the case, then we wouldn't be there. We're not saved because of how much money we have, because there's not enough to buy it. We're saved simply by believing, trusting the Lord, having faith in the Son of God that has sought us. It is He that came to us when I was a sinner, when I was low. He came to where I was, and the Scripture says His arm is not shortened that He cannot reach, and His ear is not deafened that He cannot hear the cry of one calling unto Him. Thank God He comes to where we are, and He saves us, and we need to remember that. We need to rejoice in that, for that transaction that has done and has happened in our life has changed us and made us a believer, made us a Christian. The word Christian is loosely used today, but it just simply means Christ-like. If He's made us a Christian, that means we are to be following in His footsteps. We're not saved of ourselves. We're saved of what He did. And so we need to remember we're a sinner. We need to remember that Jesus loves us and saves us. And we need to remember that it is that love that has sought us and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has bought us and given us life. We need to understand there is a great joy and should be a great joy in serving the Lord. It's a great thing to be a Christian, but it's a wonderful thing to be able to serve the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to be able to say, I'm a servant of God. Now, the greatest thing in my life that has ever happened is the day that I trusted Jesus Christ. But I put up there just about as close as anything to that as when we come to the point that I just want to serve God. I just want to work out my life and to serve Him and to follow Him and do what He wants me to do. And thank God, we ought to be loyal in that. We ought to have loyalty in serving the Lord. The church of Ephesus there in Revelation chapter 2 was rebuked because they had left their first love. They were rebuked because they had forgotten. They'd sort of let it grow cold and indifferent. I'm afraid that's what happens many times to believers tonight, is that we let things grow cold. We sort of put it on the back, and we're so busy with the things of life. We're so busy with details that we forget the detail that's important, and that's what the Lord's done for us. We forget about how that He has made us a new creature. We're no longer going to hell, but we're going to heaven, and we have a service to the Lord. We're to tell people about Jesus Christ. We're to be satisfied in the Lord. We're to have that sweet fellowship with believers and have that sweet fellowship with the people of God and to rejoice in Him and to rejoice in the knowledge that Jesus loves us. Just to think about God loves me. As vast as this universe is and as many things that are in this world, God loves me. And you can put your name there. And Jesus showed His love in that day that He died on Calvary. And now we are to serve Him with gladness. We're not to serve as a reluctant volunteer. We're not to serve as someone that has his arm twisted. We're to serve because we love Him. We're to serve because of what He has done for us and the blessings that He has given to us. We're to be satisfied in the work that God gives to each of us. Everybody has a different task. Everybody has a different job. Everybody has a different spiritual occupation, we might call it. But God has something for all of us to do for the betterment of His work and for His church, and if you want to call it His kingdom, then we can do those things that would be a servant of God, knowing that we are not forgetting what He's done for us. I owe Him so much. Could we ever repay the Lord for what He did? Could we ever work enough to repay God for sending His Son? Never, never in a million years could we do that. Could we ever repay the Lord Jesus Christ for Him dying on Calvary, shedding His blood and suffering the agony and suffering the shame and the reproach and all the things that are listed in the Scripture, how that they buffeted Him, they spat upon Him, they mocked Him, they put a crown of thorns upon Him, they took His clothes and they whipped Him, they beat Him, they put a crown of thorns. Could I ever repay Him for what He did for me? No. But I am to serve Him, to be a willing servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we serve the Lord? Is it just coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night? When is that serving the Lord? Well, that's a part of it. But a servant is a servant every day of the week. A servant doesn't choose his calling or his place of service. A servant does not choose what he is to do. A servant just follows the directions that are given. And we have those directions as a believer in the Word of God. And so tonight, we surely would never forget those things. Surely we would not forget what God has done for us. Because we have liberty in the Spirit. We have our spirit and we have the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh us a far more excellent and eternal weight of glory." Here we find in chapter 4 and there and verse number 17, this light affliction that we have, this problem that comes upon us, it's just for a moment, and then, thank God, one day we'll be with the Lord. And we'll be there forever and forever. The Scripture tells us, the verse tells us that we have the Spirit of God that lives within us and that He is the Spirit of liberty. He is the one that gives us life, and then He gives us liberty, freedom to serve the Lord. We can praise the Savior. We can proclaim the message of the Scriptures, and we can provide it to those around us that Jesus saves. Jesus said, "Give the winds a mighty voice." I'm afraid the wind's voice tonight is sort of not as mighty as it used to be. I'm afraid the voice of the church is not as strong as it used to be. I'm afraid the believer is not as strong as they used to be, but that tells us that we need to share up those places that are weak and build up those areas and help us to not forget. It's a terrible thing for a person to forget. I do it all the time. We are prone to forget. I'll have something that I know I have got to do, and about 10 o'clock that night, I'll remember I didn't do it. I've forgotten. And sometimes it's a problem when you forget. Sometimes it affects other people. Sometimes it affects those around you. Sometimes it affects your own life. And so it's important that we remember. And certainly it's important in these words and what we've read tonight. The Lord told them there in Deuteronomy, beware. That word beware means be careful. Have an understanding. There's a consequence if you do forget. There in those verses that we read, there in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and also chapter number 6, those words are words of warning. Do not forget. Beware. Don't let that happen. And He tells us here in those verses to teach them to our children and to put them down when we let them know when we're sitting and when we're walking, when we lay down, when we rise up, and bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be the frontlets between our eyes. Everything ought to be in our life as a believer should be surrounded by spiritual things. I'm afraid everything in our life is surrounded by secular things. We've let the secular world and the godless world take over too much of our thoughts and too much of our attitudes when God says, remember. It's a very troubling thing to see our parents and grandparents. We see them get to the point that they cannot remember. It's a very troubling thing in my own household to not remember. That's not normal. The normal way of life is that we have a memory. And God has given us a memory. Don't forget. He warns us, beware. Don't forget those things. But there are times that we let the world come in and we do forget. You can read the history of Israel, you'll find that they forgot a lot of times. They forgot a lot of things. And it came down many, many times that God had to just bring them to a point of almost total annihilation so they would remember. God had to bring them to a point of being overrun by other nations and other countries and false gods, and all those things was intermingled and they were forgetting. And by the time the Lord Jesus came on the scene, that nation of Israel was so wicked and ungodly. They had so many rules and regulations that were not according to Scripture. They had forgotten. They didn't even recognize the Lord of glory. They didn't even recognize the Messiah. And they had all the Scriptures, and they had the prophets, and they had the preachers to tell them, and the Messiah is coming. Here's how you can recognize Him. Isaiah gave them all those details. But when Jesus came, they said, we'll not have Him. We don't want Him. They had forgotten from whence they had come. And tonight, if we forget, we as the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ that have seen the blessings of the Lord and have known the blessings of God, if we forget, then our grandchildren will not hear. If we forget our great-grandchildren and those that follow us long after we're gone, if we don't tell the story will be lost. If we don't put it in their heart and their mind, this book is true, this Bible is real, salvation is of the Lord, and teach our children and our children's children as the Scripture tells us, and other places in the book of Psalm, it goes farther than that to more generations than that, our children's children, and then they teach their children. Generation after generation after generation of people that believe God. Most of us, maybe not all, but most of us are saved tonight because we had an influence upon us as a child. Our parents were, many of them were saved because somebody had influenced them as a child. And they become a Christian. So they took up the mantle and they took up the task of telling. But then if you check way back generations ago, you'll find that many of us, our grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great, are people that have loved God and served God. Again, it's not that way for everybody, but thank God when the grace of the Lord broke in on your family. And God picked out and come down to where you were and saved you. We need not forget that. We need to always be remembering, even though not all of it's good, but everything the Lord's done for us is good. Everything He has accomplished in our life is good. He's taken the bad and made it right. Taken the crooked and made it straight. He's taken the blind and put eyesight and ears that could hear and now a mouth that can speak. All that's because of the Lord. Beware, lest thou forget. Don't let that take place. Don't let that happen. As He tells us here, as Israel, what nation is there that has what Israel has had? What blessing is it? Only take heed to thyself. Keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget. And when you forget, there's always repercussions. There's a generation of people tonight in our country that are not saved because somebody forgot. There's a generation, there's a group of people tonight that are so devoid of understanding that we are almost spiritually a third world country. We have almost come to the point of total rebellion against God. No God. Don't know the Lord. Because somewhere down the line, somebody for God to tell that generation. May it not be us. May we not be guilty of that. We may not be able to tell a lie, but we can tell everybody we come in contact with. We may not be able to tell the entire world, but we can spread the gospel by our missionaries to tell the world that there is a Savior, there is a Lord, there is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. Don't forget the blessings of the Lord. Let's stand together tonight. May His blessings be upon us, His watch care over us, so that we can continue to tell everybody around us He's real. It's not an imaginary story. He's real. And we have a story to tell to the nations. Do remember the announcements of this morning. That the